Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from the second book of Samuel, chapter 11, and I read especially verse 2. 2 Samuel 11, verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. We also use the Heidelberg Catechism, as we have read from Lord's Day 52, question answer 127. The theme for the sermon is, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Congregation, someone traveled a long way, was dangerous, was concerned about it, prayed a lot about protection. Oh, so many things could happen being far away from home in different strange countries and all the dangers of traveling. But he was kept. The Lord in his goodness kept him, and so he returned home. He was so relieved. Now he was home and now he was safe. But then this person, while he was home and thought he was safe, he fell. He stumbled in his own house. And he hurt. He hurt his head and he died. There's something. He didn't expect that. All at a sudden, well, he was kind of at ease, was not aware of any danger. Then all at a sudden it happened. Maybe he was not that careful. And then he fell and he died. But he thought that could happen in traveling, in being far away, in strange situations, countries. That happened at his very home while he was at ease. Isn't that a picture of David? When we read the history of David, how he fell in sin. David, we know David, don't we? This man after God's heart. David, we see him taking care of the sheep of his father. And then, oh, how brave and trusting in the Lord, fighting the wild animals to save the sheep. We see David. Well, there was the ungodly, the godless Philistine who was mocking the Lord, blaspheming God. And the indignation in the heart of David. And fighting this giant, trusting in the Lord, and conquered him. He won the battle. How many times did David win the battle? How many times did he go to the war? Did the women not sing in Israel, Saul has conquered his thousands, but David his 10,000s? He was a mighty warrior, wasn't he? Helped by the Lord. Many battles he has fought and won, and victory over our enemies. Tonight we have read this history, this chapter in Scripture, and we have read, and sadness fills our hearts, isn't it? Sorrow fills our hearts when we read about David, how he lost this battle, how he fell in the temptation of sin and fell in adultery. How did it happen? Let's try to receive instruction from this history, warning as well. How could this happen to David? We know his Psalms, don't we? We know how he was praying to God, trusting in God in so many dangers. Oh, it's a treasure we have received in the Psalms of David, describing the experiences of our heart that we experience in this warfare on earth. Now, David fell in sin, in adultery. How is it possible? Well, it happened in a situation that it was a war. If you read chapter 10, then we see that there was a war against the Ammonites. And then at a certain time of the year, they had to quit, stop the war, because the good season for going into the war was over, and they waited for the next year, the new season, that the weather would be good enough that they could go again into the war. It came to pass after the year was expired, at a time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him. Joab, the commander of the army, and the servants, they go into the war, and all Israel to continue this war against the Ammonites. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Why did David not go into the war? Why did he not lead the army like he had done in the past? Well, scripture doesn't say, but we can see that David, in a situation where his kingdom was strong and more powerful, didn't feel that it was needed for him to go there. So David stayed home, and he sent Joab and the army to fight the Ammonites. He stayed in Jerusalem. So we read that David was idle. It came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed. An evening tide? Was he sick or something? It doesn't seem to be that he was sick. So it was not just that he was tired of working hard and take a nap for 15 minutes or half an hour. No, he had been laying on his bed, and he rose from off his bed in the evening tide. And he walked upon the roof of the king's house. So here is a lesson. David was idle. He was not busy to work for his people, to go into the war. There must have been things that David could have done, but he was idle, bored maybe, and then he walked upon the roof of the king's house, and then he is seeing a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. So there's the temptation for David. But David, you know how to deal with such a situation, isn't it? David, you have written Psalm 119, where you pray to the Lord. So here is the moment to pray this prayer. 119, verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken thou me in thy way. And David, this is the moment that you need the help of the Lord, that you need to pray against this temptation. But we do not see David praying here. David didn't turn away his eyes. Maybe he told himself, just a little while. That doesn't hurt. It's beautiful to see her. Look how beautiful she is. I can just look for a while. That's nothing, that wouldn't do harm. And so it's so easy to find excuses to ease our conscience, isn't it? So to be idle, to be lazy, that's a situation that Satan likes to use to bring temptation of sin in such a situation that we are not doing our duty? Was it not a duty of David to work for his kingdom, even to go to the war? But when we neglect our duty, Satan likes to use this situation to bring temptation. And so David, he is not turning away his eyes. It's like what Eve did in paradise when she looked upon the fruit of the tree. And it was so beautiful to see, so attractive, so delicious to her eyes. And then she took the fruit and she was eating it in paradise. David doesn't stop here. It's not just that he is looking, that he is seeing this woman, but he is inquiring after her. He finds out, he wants to know who she is. And he is receiving the information, the answer. She's Bathsheba. And listen, David, she is married to Uriah. So if you thought about that you could marry her as another wife, that's impossible because she is already married. So David, now it should be clear, this is the end of the story. Forget about it and go to do your duty. And by the way, David, you are married. And you even have more than one wife. So, David, turn away. Turn to the things of your duty, or even better, turn to the Lord. No, David is not doing that. So, think about that. When we start to allow our mind to go in the wrong direction, it is so hard to stop. It is so easy to continue in that wrong direction. Just a little while. Just play with a thought. Just enjoy yourself for a while with the things that you know that it is sin against the will of God, and that it does harm to your soul. David is sending messengers. Maybe he told himself he just wanted to talk for a while. What's wrong with that? She seems to be a kind lady, so he could spend some time to talk to her. And that's all he wanted. We don't know that, but we can see that that's something we could think in such a situation. That's not how it works. David is sending messengers and Bathsheba is coming. And it doesn't stop there. David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him. And he lay with her. And she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. So, here is the question. How is it possible that this hero is fallen so deeply in sin? And also another question. Did Bathsheba not speak against David? We don't know that. Scripture doesn't say it. But we don't read it either. Did she not try to stop him from this sin? But we can see how hard it was for her to do that. David was a king. He was a man in a powerful position. That makes his and our responsibility even bigger. That we would not abuse power if we are in a position of power, in whatever way it might be. And besides that, did not the whole people of Israel know that David was a godly man, a God-fearing man? So David wouldn't do anything wrong, would he? He was a God-fearing man, a man after the heart of God. It cannot be that this is wrong if this is something David wants to do. How hard it must be, must have been for her to stop David from doing this. Do we see the responsibility if we are Christians, if we are known as God-fearing people? How dangerous it is also for others if we are falling into temptation of sin. How we can bring destruction to their lives and ruin to their souls, like David does. No, it cannot be wrong, because it's David who is doing this thing. But it was wrong. It was kindling the wrath of the Lord. Bathsheba conceived and was with child, and the child was born, but the child died as a result of the sin of David. And David also became a murderer. Oh, the darkness of sin, the destruction caused by sin. Can we find words to describe it? It looks so nice. It is so attractive. It feels so good. It brings some pleasure. But it is so bitter. It is so bitter in the end, isn't it? Scripture is so honest about it. David, the man after God's heart, he was not too good to fall in sin. He didn't have the strength to resist this temptation. He didn't find a way to win this battle. We do not even read that he did start the battle. It feels like he just gave in. It seems like he was not on guard. He was not like the man who traveled and came home and was at ease. At that time, he fell. And isn't that what happens to us? There where we do not expect the temptation of sin and it comes, we do not resist, we just fall. I hope we learn our lessons, and how many times it happens through shame and humiliation, that we see the devices of Satan and the weakness of ourselves. So Scripture is honest, and it's so important that this is written in Scripture. It's important for several reasons. It is a warning for us. If David fell, who would think that he or she could not fall? And that's what Scripture says, actually, also in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 10. There we read in verse 12, "Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." So we have every reason to pray this petition that we learn, that we have received from the Lord Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. David, he fell. So, we have to watch and pray every moment of our lives. We cannot stand even one moment. At the same time, how good it is that this is described in Scripture, although it's a dark page in Scripture, but it is reality. But also it is described that there was a way back, that David was restored by the Lord in a way of repentance when the prophet came to him and pointed out his sin. Then David was breaking. He broke and he humbled himself. And he cried about his sin. For a while, for months, he had hardened himself. He found excuses. Well, he was a king, you know. And all kings do that. Of all the surrounding empires, they do that. You know, and so many excuses we can find. But, oh, when we have fallen in sin, when temptation found us and we were not praying and watching and we fell, that's sad. That's destructive. It is doing so much harm to our neighbors. Bathsheba, Uriah, the child that was born, but at the same time, let it not be that we become desperate and think there is no way back out of this situation. Maybe you are at this very moment in a situation that you have fallen for the temptation of sin, and there you are. Now you have that burden on your conscience, and Satan is accusing you. And oh, you do not see a way out, and you feel desperate, and it's so dark. And then you read his history, and you know that David was not cast away by the Lord, that David was washed and cleansed by the blood of the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nathan told him, "The Lord has also taken away your sin. There is forgiveness. There is a way to have relief for your conscience. Find peace again with God, or for the first time." That's another reason why it is so important that Scripture is honest about this sin of David. And you know, it is, and the prophet is also saying that, it is so sad that we see a servant of the Lord, a leader of the people, falling in such a sin. Because it causes the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the name of the Lord. That's why Satan will especially attack people in a position of being a leader, an office bearer, an example for the people. If they will fall, Satan knows that he can do harm to many souls, and that the name of the Lord will be blasphemed and dishonored. We have to pray and to watch. We have to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 141, stanza 1 through 4. 141, stanza 1. "Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true." 141, all stanzas. The Lord Jesus is teaching in his prayer to pray this petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What does it mean? The Heidelberg Catechism is explaining it. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment, we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand one moment. Do you believe that? It seems David didn't think about it. We cannot stand one moment. If we believe it, if we are aware of it, we will watch. We will watch the gates of our eyes and of our ears. We'll watch our tongue. We so easily sin with our eyes, don't we? It is so easy in this world to drink in the sin with our eyes. And the world would say, well, what is wrong with it? What is the spirit of this world concerning the temptation of sin? Well, you may do what you want as long as you do not hurt someone else. That's the spirit of this world. What's wrong with it? It doesn't hurt anybody. If I watch what I want to watch and to see and enjoy to see, it doesn't do harm to anybody. It does. It does harm to your soul. It does offend God. Because God is holy and He wants us to be holy. So we have to guard our eyes. We have to pray the prayer of David in Psalm 119 that the Lord would turn away our eyes from vanity. We have to pray that it would be also a guard before our lips. Such a temptation also to sin with our tongue. And also there's a temptation to listen to sin. People do not only commit sins, but people like to talk about it. Because they find joy in it. And so we have to turn away from these things as much as possible. Not because we think we are better. Not because we despise people as if we are better than them, but we despise sin. We are aware of our weakness. We agree with the Heidelberg Catechism. We are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And why would you drink in sin like water with your eyes and deceive yourself in thinking that it wouldn't do harm? Does it not wound your conscience? Does it not take away peace from your heart? It does. Does it not bring separation between God and your soul? It does. It certainly does. Don't be deceived. We are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. So we have to pray. We have to pray, lead us not into temptation. What does that mean? Can we blame God for the temptation in our lives? Could David blame God for the situation? No, certainly not. God is not tempting people to bring them to sin. God may test people to strengthen their faith, to make them depend on Him. But we pray that God will lead our lives in such a way that we will not come in such situations, because we are aware that we are so weak. We believe that God is in control of all things. Oh Lord, please lead us, but not that we will come into temptation, because I cannot stand one moment. That's what we pray. And then also we pray, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Or you could say, the evil one, the devil. So we are aware of our own weakness, and we are aware of the presence of the devil. Deliver us from evil. He is ready to attack me and to destroy me. But Lord, deliver us from evil. You cannot pray this prayer in an honest way, and the next thing you do is go into a situation of temptation. Then you are not praying it in a sincere way. If you pray, lead us not into temptation, that includes that you will avoid situations of temptation as much as possible. Because it is the will of God. Because it is about your soul created for eternity. But Pastor, you may say that, but you know, it's not easy to be in society and to do the occupation I have to do. I hear what you say, and I believe, I understand what you say, and so you have even so much more reason to pray this prayer, this petition, if you experience that daily in the work you have to do. But remember, it is a difference if we come in a situation of where sins are openly shown or done or proclaimed, because there is our duty, we have to be there. Like Daniel, he was brought in captivity in Babylon, a godless city full of sin. Not that he wanted to go there, but there was no way for him to avoid it. But there he was kept by the Lord. But how different it was with Lot, who went to Sodom because he wanted to make money there. He wanted to get rich there. And there he was grieving his righteous soul daily. And at the end he lost everything he had, even his wife, in that situation. You feel the difference? If you make the choice to go there, well, you could avoid it. Or if you, because of the calling you have in life or the duty you have to fulfill, have to deal with such situations. And you couldn't avoid it. That gives more boldness to depend on the Lord to keep you and to defend you, to deliver you from evil. We are so weak that we cannot stand the moment. And besides that, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us, to attack us. So, our mortal enemies, which means it's a matter of life and death. These enemies are trying to destroy our lives. There are three of them. The devil, the world, and our own flesh. The devil, the liar from the beginning, who lied in paradise, tempted and deceived Eve. And so she fell, Adam fell because of that. The devil, who is a murderer and a liar. He is evil, only evil. So it is important that we see, it doesn't say deliver us from evil as being a thing or something, but evil like being a person, from the evil one. Satan is a person with intellect, with experience. He's smart, and he has many devices and tricks and snares and ways to entice us in sin, to tempt us with sin. Don't underestimate Satan. He's always there. And that's why you pray, deliver us from evil. He is invisible, but he is present. He is here tonight. He knows you. He knows your weaknesses, your weak moments. He was watching David, and he is watching you. And he is trying to find ways to make you fall in sin, to lead you in temptation. He did it to the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. And how did the Lord Jesus fight this enemy? With the sword of the word. So know your Bible. Know how to handle this sword. Jesus answered him with scripture. And again. And again. And then Satan left. And scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So don't believe the lie that there's no way that Satan could be resisted. Not in your own strength, but depending on the Lord, there is a way to resist and to fight this enemy. This enemy is not alone, the devil, with all his experience, thousands of years. But there's also the world. Is the world an enemy? Does it not say in Scripture that the world... In John 3 it says, God so loved the world. And there it says the word cosmos, which is the creation, the created world of the Lord. And God loved his own work in such a way that he sent his Son to save mankind. But the world is also used in Scripture many times as that what is fallen away from the Lord in rebellion, in a state of rebellion against God. And in that way, Satan is the prince of the world, the one who has such an influence and power and authority in this world. And so those two work together, the devil and the world, a world full of temptation. Many things that you like to enjoy for the flesh, things that bring pride to our sinful hearts, the lust of the flesh, all these things, we can see them in this world, isn't it? And they speak to us, they attract us, they feel good for our flesh. There's so much that our flesh desires, likes, would like to have or to experience in this world. But it is destructive and will destroy our soul forever if we serve the world instead of the Lord. And if that will never change. Mortal enemies, the devil and the world. Do not love the world. That's what John writes in his letters. This world is passing away and all that is within it. You make the biggest mistake if you give your heart to the world, to the lust of the flesh, to the riches of this world, to the glory of this world, to the pleasure of sin in this world. It's a mortal enemy. Do you see it? Do you pray this prayer? Deliver us from evil. The world and our own flesh. That means our own nature, the old nature, the nature in which we are born, the sinful nature. What is that sinful nature? Well, that is the nature of Adam. We are children of Adam. We have that rebellion in our nature against God, that disobedience, that pride that we want to be like God, that selfishness that we put ourselves in the center. And that is here, within. It is in my natural heart. It is the enemy within the wall of the city. You know, in old times in Netherlands, they had walls around the city. And when Spain attacked the Netherlands and they would close the gates in Jerusalem. In Israel they had it too, and then the enemy was outside, and that was bad. But at least as long as the enemy was outside, there's some security inside. As soon as there were enemies within the wall, that was really dangerous. And, well, that's our situation. Our old nature is working together with the devil and with the world. They fit together. Do you see the need for this prayer? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Those enemies cease not to assault us. Satan would like it if you think he's gone. He's no reality anymore. He's not here anymore. No, but the Catechism says they cease not to assault us. But I'm converted. I'm born again. I live by faith. That's great. That's a miracle. I'm very thankful about it. But your old nature is still an enemy and does not cease to assault you, to attack you. And that will never improve. The flesh will never improve. It's corrupt. It's depraved. It has to die. And that happens. That happens through the power of the work of the Spirit in your life. So don't be surprised when you experience that enemy within the wall, but watch and pray and fight against this enemy. And the flesh has to die. It will never cease to assault us. And that's why we pray, do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by thy power, by the power of thy Holy Spirit. And this is such a wonderful thing that we may pray this. Here you are in all your helplessness, in all the danger being attacked by those enemies. But then you look to the Lord and you pray, Lord, preserve us. Strengthen us by the power of the Holy Spirit. What is your weakness? You know it. Might be different for the one or for the other. Might be your tongue. Might be your eyes. Might be your ears. Might be the love for money. Might be the lust of the flesh. But in all these things you need the strength of the Lord. You need His preserving by the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot stand even one moment. As long as you put some trust in yourself, you're ready to fall. You have to come to the point that you give up to trust in your own strength, so that you will pray this prayer. Do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit. Do you feel like I fail all the time? Maybe you did not yet learn this lesson, that it's only by the power, the strength, the preservation of the power of the Holy Spirit that you can be kept. So that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes. So Satan will maybe tell you, he will try to tell you, there's no use. This is just how you are, and there's no use to resist this sin. And you know, by the way, there is grace. And so don't worry about it. That's not the way the Catechism is speaking. And it cannot be the way a sincere child of God would think. Paul says, would you serve sin? God forbid. You make yourself a slave of it. You lose your freedom and your peace. So there's no other way. We have to fight this warfare, a spiritual warfare. It started in paradise. The Lord told Adam, I put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, which is ultimately Christ. And that's our hope. Christ has victory over Satan, and that is why God's children are not destroyed in this warfare, but may experience to share in his victory by faith, but also in experience. Constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, till at last we obtain a complete victory. It will not last forever. Soon this life will be over, and then God's child will receive the full experience of the victory of Christ. Here it is seen by faith. Here we experience some of that victory in our lives. We also learn the deep lesson of our weakness, that we cannot stand for a moment. But in eternity, there we will see, experience the complete victory, receive it, obtain it. So don't be discouraged in this warfare. You say, I fall daily. Well, cry to the Lord and pray for his strength. He will lift you up daily, and he will not forsake you. But one day, this warfare will be finished, and we will see Christ. We will experience his victory. So the love of Christ in your heart will make the difference, will cause that you hate sin and flee from it, like Joseph did. Joseph didn't play with it, but he fled. And that caused him suffering in this world. But also God gave him glory afterwards. And so it will be with you. If you want to live a godly life, you will suffer and be persecuted in this life, but you will also share in the glory of the Lord. He will never forsake you. He will give you that full glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. We pray, Lord, that thou would keep us. We have such a warfare in this life, Lord, and we cannot stand even one moment. And it's such a hard lesson for us. But we pray that thou would bring us to an end with ourselves, so that we learn to pray this prayer. Lord, that thou would preserve us and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, and that thou would give us to persist in this battle, in this warfare. Lord, that we would not let our guard down and be like David and fall in sin and bring so much destruction. Oh Lord, we are no better, certainly not. Thou art so good and so merciful and so able to help us. Lord, we plead, we beseech thee, help us in our need. We can never conquer these three enemies in our own strength, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, when we are weak, then we are strong. When we are aware of our weakness, then we look for thy power and receive it. Lord, give us that insight in our situation, that we see the reality of our weakness, that we cannot stand even one moment, so that we will rely on thee, that we will trust in thee alone. Bless thy word, Lord. Keep us when we go home. Keep us on the dangerous roads. And also help us in all the things we have to do in this new week. We pray, Lord, for the young people, for the children, and also for the adults. We live in a world, in a society full of temptation, and we can see it everywhere. We can see it every moment. That thou would turn our eyes away from vanity, Lord, that we may be aware, Lord, of our own weakness, so that we will not play with sin and bring ourselves into temptation. Lord, help us. Hear us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.